I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at the colleges, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 13, Week 2, Hobart at Mooresville State, Saturday, 1 o'clock. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ted. How are you?
Good. 36-6, slow start offensively over Alfred, but another one of those team wins where guys contributed up and down the roster. What were your overall thoughts?
Yeah, I think it was. It was a complete game. We needed definitely some time. We made some in-game adjustments that, credit Alfred, that first game without seeing some things on video. They did a couple things that were different than the year before. And we also hurt ourselves offensively in that first quarter in particular. There's a couple plays, couple drives that we made some decisions that hurt ourselves. So it took us a little bit longer to get it going. Had a blunder right before half, which was a crucial one, unfortunately, that probably led to, so obviously, the short field that led to the Alfred's touchdown. And then we talked about it before the game, what was going to be our emotional response when things didn't go well. To our credit, we then flipped it around and really flipped the momentum back in our favor right before half. So it was even though it wasn't a pretty first half, I thought we learned a little bit about ourselves and then hopefully had some game situations that we can learn from and grow from for heading into our next game.
Were you expecting their freshman backup quarterback? We had the other guy listed on our two deep.
Not until right before the game. It was one of those that I think there was an injury to the expected starter, and that was kind of one of the things that took us maybe the first drive or two on defense to kind of figure out what they were trying to do. They were doing a bunch of motions and shifts and overloads, bandit looks that kind of covered up the tight end. So, again, I thought our defense played well, especially for a lot of young guys getting their first start or their first significant minutes. They also had a couple opportunities where they had a couple shots downfield, hit one, missed on another one, but I thought our defense played well. Like I said, other than that one turnover that we had, poor read and David played well. But, I'm sure he'll admit he made the wrong read and decision on that. And he really gave that short field, which is too bad. Because, like I said, other than that, our defense was playing really, really well and wasn't threatened deep other than that one short possession.
You said last week that you wanted to be more balanced offensively, and you were. How much of that was the run game and the offensive line struggle, and how much of that was David Kruesom throwing the ball well, and how much of it was by design even before the start?
About a third. Talking with the O-line, I thought Alfred's front, and I said this in last week's podcast, six out of their seven guys back, and I went into it knowing that they had two or three really big, strong D linemen and all three of their linebackers back, that they were going to be much more stout against the run than they were to us the year before. That showed true. I also think our O-line and tight ends just uncharacteristically made a couple plays that, playing like we were still preseason mode there. So we got to clean up some things there. And then I think the other part of that was, the other third was, I think, David Kruesom, just a year older, wiser. Our receivers and running backs and tight ends a lot back with experience. I think you'll see that continue to move forward, that the passing game will be both from his end and from our end. I'd like to think that we're going to become a more balanced offense this year. But no doubt, I think the running game has to be much more productive than it was last week.
David Kruesom, you said he had the one out pattern that a pretty quick cornerback jumped. I mean, he had great closing speed on that pattern. Maybe a couple of throws he'd want back, but when it was time to make big plays and big throws, he did all night long.
Yeah, my comment to him after the game was just the game slowed down. You could finally see he was in poise with his decision making, from protection calls to checks. And I think that's where his maturation is really shown. Yeah, accuracy in a couple throws, decisions, reads, there's always going to be those. I've yet to coach a perfect game. I've yet to have a quarterback throw a perfect, every ball being perfect. But I think, he took a huge step in the right direction. He was efficient. And like I said, other than one or two throws, other than like an accuracy situation, he was making the right reads, which if we do that in our passing game, I think that's going to open up a lot and just make us a much more diverse attack on offense.
I thought one of his best throws kind of came kind of ad lib, and that was the one to Bartosik, the diving catch in the end zone. He takes off out of some pursuit. Some of the defensive guys bite and come up a little bit. Bartosik reads that and goes deep. Kruesom reads it and hits him.
Yeah, it's our scramble rules, and it's one of those that's always tough to practice exactly that speed and tempo, but he did a good job stepping up through the pocket out to his right, and that's where Just where his eyes were still a thrower at that point, where probably a year or two ago he tucks it and runs and get a 5 or 7 yard gain. We're going to look to scramble to throw first. And Chris did a really good job breaking off his route and saw David coming to him, so he went vertical. And ironically, they had a very similar throw the series beforehand that David overthrew him, almost the same thing, right hash. And that, so I think it was good to then kind of recalibrate, and he threw a really accurate ball, and Chris made a nice high point catch. And that touchdown right before half, again, it doesn't erase the one that we gave the touchdown essentially back to Alfred, but it does give us that two possession lead going in. And I think that was really crucial for our defense to show, like, they were playing pretty well, that, we got to be able to pick each other up. And although we made a mistake, the offense and special teams helped us kind of get those points back right before half.
I think one of the biggest takeaways for me from this game, 4 different touchdown receivers, 8 different guys caught the ball. The receiving core wasn't terribly experienced coming into the season, but those guys ran some great routes and made some great catches.
Yeah, I think we definitely did. And I think, as always, we're trying to balance that depth out with having some guys step up. So it's going to be, and I know that going into this week, we're going to have different faces out there competing and challenging it. And at the same time, it's good to have some experience at some of those returning positions, so that I think one of the reasons David was able to be in a rhythm throwing is that there weren't, routes going the wrong direction or at the wrong depth. All those things play into it. So from the O-line, had really good pass protection, minus the one or two. And again, I thought that was a pretty solid front from Alfred. So it wasn't like that was a weak opponent. And I think if we can protect up front, the quarterback's confident in the reads, and we can get the receivers and tight ends and running backs in the right locations, I think that should rise our efficiency in the passing game.
We talked last week about Emmett Ford and the way he hits and who would step up and fill that role. Looks like Anthony Romano wants to be that guy.
Yeah, he's had a really good preseason. And we had a hunch that he was going to have a really good game. He was our most consistent linebacker coming out of preseason camp, and I think he really was in the right spot. There's a couple plays he wants back, as always, but I felt like every time I looked around, he was around the ball, which is a good thing for your inside backer.
You were able to run fresh legs on the D-line. I think I counted maybe 8 guys that played on that D-line. Secondary was pretty strong. A couple of guys got open deep. They hit one. Missed a couple. Is that a little bit of a concern, is not letting those receivers get behind?
Yeah, we definitely talked about it this week. I think they were so heavy run that play action got us a couple times. And I think that's where, doing your job has been our focus this week. Do your 111th, and we had a couple safeties and corners. They got a little nosy trying to help out in the run game when they got to make sure they take care of their responsibilities first. But that being said, I think we were able to recover on a couple. And at the same time, our pressure affected some of that. So, we didn't get as many, sacks as you would think, but they were heavy run, and a couple sacks, a couple hits we got on the quarterback, I think it did affect a couple of the throws. And I think that was a good test as we head into this week, because it's going to be a very similar game plan in terms of run, play action. And we're going to have to do a really good job making sure that we don't get bit up and get one or two of those throws over the top of us.
Third down was big for you last year. It was big again on Friday night. You just, on both sides of the ball, always stepped up on third down.
Yeah, that's you look at a lot of different stats. Some stats are a little overrated in our opinion versus some of the others, but typically if you're good on third and fourth down, you're getting on the field and staying on the field and then getting off the field. We're always going to try to make sure we're efficient in those situations. We think about that in our first and second down play calling on offense. And I think Mike Green and the defensive staff do a really good job packaging certain people by third and fourth down, so that game situations is something that hopefully will continue to get better as we get more experience on the defensive side.
Last week you introduced us to Coach Rip on special teams, blocked extra point, blocked punt, no punt return yards allowed, and not much allowed at kickoffs. He must be pretty happy this week.
He was. He was excited, as were the guys on Sunday when we watched the video, or on Saturday, because we played on Friday night. But yeah, it goes right in the momentum we talked about, is winning that third of the game. And I think that, like, simple thing of that touchdown right before half, I don't know if that happens if we don't get that good kickoff return. So the blocked kicks are always big, and those, that led to some points and short fields there. But I think even field position, we had the advantage there. And this week we're going to be tested. They have a very good punter and strong on special teams with some of the returners. So, I think, as always, you learn, you grow, you recalibrate from last week, and you figure out, a different game plan, but at the same time try to have the same same agenda of winning special teams this week if we can.
I've seen a lot of good kickers come through this program. Toby Weffering may have the strongest leg of any of them. He missed from 42, but he had plenty of leg. He just pushed it a little wide right. He's a guy that if you need a 45-yarder with a game on the line, you trust him to get it.
Absolutely. And that was what I was, you know, and it, kudos to him. He didn't overkick it. He missed it right, which is fine. And the way we coached, you know, we put him out there because we had confidence he was going to make it. And doesn't know he's going to make all of them, but that leg, he had a leg that was going to be good for him another 10, 15 yards. I think he was really excited to kick it. And, you know, with the temperature and the air that night, it was going to carry. And the same way his kickoffs were down to the goal line.
Yeah.
So I think between him and Vicente, both really did a really great job placing their kicks and where they were going. And, you know, Vicente is a rookie in his first game, you know, slipped on the first one. And, you know, between him slipping on the first one and Toby kicking the first one out of bounds, you know, I joked with Coach Rip. I said, we can get those kicks out in warm-ups. That'd be great. But they both kind of, again, recalibrated themselves and finished pretty strong.
Yeah, he said Vicente on the first one, he shanked it. He got the good roll. And then from there on, he was a weapon, booming them high and deep. A couple of them inside the 20, just everything you want from your punter.
Absolutely. He was our special teams player for us in that game. And again, you think about just some of those, we really practiced the going in and making sure you don't just kick it in the end zone. And he's done a really good job. It doesn't mean he's never going to kick in the end zone, but, you know, getting it where it bounces out at the 12, the 5 versus, you know, getting a touchback and giving him some free yards. So I thought he, you know, again, really settled down after that first slip. And then even Toby, you know, kicking out of bounds. That's not, you know, first play, first game, you're thinking about what we want to do, and we don't want to spot them at the 35-yard line by kicking out of bounds. But
and it almost got there. I mean, it went out at like the 3. I mean, we were kind of holding our breath thinking it might get in the end zone.
Yeah, but again, the way we coach it, and Rip was, he's done a really good job with our special teams, and I think they're going to, we are, and we talk about it as a coaching staff, we're really super excited that both of those guys, you know, are so young in their college careers. Both of them didn't, you know, have only played, you know, organized American football for 2 to 3 years when you think about it. So they're only going to continue to get better. They're taking coaching. They're super receptive. And you throw in Jordan O'Connor as our long snapper, short snapper. Those three have done a very, very good job being professionals at their craft. And that's why I think we're really optimistic. And you throw in Nick Provenzano, a young guy who's, you know, snapping. We're really excited because these guys, you're talking about sophomore, freshman, junior, you know, so we can continue to get stronger in the special teams. But we talk about putting the special in special teams, and it starts with those guys. If they're preparing the right way, then our guys are hungry to get on those units. I think you'll hopefully continue to find us to be successful moving forward.
Another reason why you're on the sideline and I'm not, they kick the ball out of bounds, and I thought, okay, take it at the 35. They're not going to kick deep, so you're not going to break a big return. You made them kick it over. They kick an angle kick, and it goes right to Drew Walsh, the former running back, and he gets a huge return, and you turn it into points.
Yeah, we actually did it a couple times, and both times the returns worked in our favor. I think that I do think we had the advantage in the kicking game, and they didn't want to kick it deep. They were kicking off to the side. So, you know, I've had egg on my face before where, you know, all of a sudden we slip and fall and we don't gain the yardage. But more often than not, those are calculated decisions that we talked as a staff, and that was a kind of a gut feeling on my end at that time to have them with no time off the clock, make them re-kick it. And if they kick it out of bounds, they did it twice the one time. So I just think that field position for us is imperative, and if we can gain that, I just trust our guys as returners, whether they're deep, they're underneath guys. Everyone, that, you know, when we go out there, I say like all 11 guys on our kickoff return are guys who should be able to field the ball and do something with it. Front line, our ends, our fullbacks, all the way through our returners. So, and again, we're going to see different guys, you know, as the returning, you know, kind of jump up. But those fullbacks, if you look at them, they're all guys who've, you know, can do something with it. And Drew Walsh obviously was a really good running back we talked about last week. He hasn't forgot how to run the ball. So, you know, kudos to Drew, and I pointed that out on Sunday. I don't know if that without that good return, if we do get that great field position to then potentially score as quickly as we did right before half. Or maybe it's a field goal instead of a touchdown. So that's really important.
I know with injuries, there's only so much you can say, and there's only so much you want to say. What can you tell us about health?
We are not healthy as we want to be coming out of week one. It was a physical game, and more importantly, we knew that kind of going in. So when you asked earlier about the you know, the offensive line and the run game, we had some guys that are not at full health, and we're going to have to make some decisions and figure out how we can, you know, get these guys to full health. But at every position, like we had a couple guys, unfortunately, that had some injuries that are more significant than others. Some guys we actually didn't play last week that we might get back. As is the sport of football, and it's not a woe is me, it's the next man up mentality. But we are going to be challenged. You're going to see some new faces and new places again this week in week two. And we're confident in our preparation. You lose some experience. You lose some explosiveness. But at the same time, you gain some youth. You gain some the next guy ready for his opportunity. You know, so I think we're going to learn a lot about ourselves as we have to continue to find ways. If we're going to have the season we want to have, you're not going to ride it with just 11 guys on offense and 11 guys on defense. So we saw that last week. We were able to play a bunch against Alfred. And I think you're going to see a lot of faces and some other guys that are going to need to step up here in week two against Morrisville.
Morrisville had a down year last year, 2-8. They struggled with their quarterback play last year and this year. But anytime you see a shutout in game one, that gets your attention.
Yeah, I think their record was a little deceiving in the sense of you know, the end of the year with a big win at, against Brockport. They played very, very well at home. We saw that in 2019. We were in a dogfight all the way through. They had the lead in the third quarter. And eventually we pulled away in the fourth, but that was a really well-played game. And even last year, you know, their head coach is a defensive coach. You know, they pinch a shutout. They're very, very sound on defense. They're strong and explosive. They have all three of their top tacklers at linebackers coming back. Very similar recipe in terms of the front of what we saw last week against Alfred. Very, like I said, they're big and strong up front. Linebackers that can run. And then on the secondary, they have some athleticism. Not as proven because they graduated some of their guys, but they're athletic. So they'll mix in some zone coverages, some man coverages. They're going to try to, you know, move the front, stunt, blitz. So moving parts, it'll be a big week for us to see if we can mature and show some signs of improvement in the run game and the pass protection. But I also think we're going to need to showcase that we can attack their younger secondary. Just, again, trying to be as balanced as possible. And you're right. They had a very good win. Special teams, offense, defense, they won all three phases pretty clearly last week against a strong team from New Jersey. So I think it'll be interesting to see. It's a second home game for them in a row. It's Mustang weekend for them. I know they're going to be fired up to play us. And like I said, they're well coached. They're going to be in the right spots. We're going to have to play really well and know that we're going to have a strong opponent on Saturday.
On offense, Alex McBurney's a solid sophomore running back returning. What do they do offensively, formation-wise and play calling?
Based off of last week, they have a quarterback that's very intelligent. We talked to him during high school, during the recruiting process. And they'll run and throw with him. So they're going to run the quarterback. He's a strong kid. They do a lot of situations where they're going to just look and see if you're outnumbered inside. They're going to throw it outside, quick game, as well as they're going to run power. They're going to try to be physical. Their line is huge up front, big, strong. I don't know if any of them, they may have one under 300 pounds, and they have a lot of guys that are way north of 300 pounds. So, you know, we're going to be smaller than them at the point of attack, so we're going to have to use our speed and quickness. And that's what they did. They did a lot of run, play action last week. Their touchdown came on a flea flicker, you know, got everyone to sync up, and then they threw it over the top. So, you know, it's easy to say, but it's tough to do, is make sure that our safeties and corners stay disciplined over the top, you know, rally to the throws underneath them, but make sure that they have two really fast receivers. And they'll keep it simple and just try to make sure they kind of lull you into sleep and then be able to play action over the top. But last week with their size up front, they were able to lean on their opponent and had some success that way in the run game. And then obviously when the defense is pitching a shutout, they didn't have to take too many chances with the ball. Really did a strong job with their punting game. Really changed the field position with their punter. And then, like I said, on defense, they did a really good job shutting down the other opponent, so they had the field position going that way. And then the one time that the opponent got in the score zone, they forced a turnover. So came away with 0 points. And I thought it was, from watching them, for a home game, they had a really good game plan and executed it. And that's why I said, I know going in, they're going to have a really strong game plan for us. It's going to come down to execution more than just our guys better than them, their guys better than us. I think it's going to be two really good teams, well-coached, and execution is going to be at the premium.
That O-line averages 294 pounds. The two guards are 324 and 335. I noticed also last week they had quite a few wide receiver runs. Are those jet sweep action?
Yeah, they do. They do a lot with motion, jet sweeps, or getting them involved in like the perimeter throws. That's kind of their extension of the run game, is throwing it on the perimeter. So, again, being aggressive at the point of attack, tackling, rallying to their athletes is going to be important for our defense.
RPI struggled a little bit in their game against Dickinson. Dickinson scored actually in their first possession in the first minute, didn't score again, 14-7 win. Do you have time to pay any attention to what anybody else is doing, or are you just focused on you?
Did not. Actually, it was another coach on our staff that kind of gave me a heads up on the score and said, that's great. We'll see him, I don't know, week 6, week 7. I just think so much, and I challenge our team on, we have so many areas to improve on, and typically really good teams find those areas to improve on in weeks two, three, here early in the season. And so I was pleased with the win, but honestly, you know, some of the scores in our conference, you know, surprises, no surprising. I know RPI is going to be really strong on defense. I think they're kind of a little bit younger on offense, so it doesn't surprise me that was a lower scoring game, but did not look at the video, did not really look much. You know, I think overall, I expect our conference to be strong, but I don't even know how some of the matchups turned out.
All right, Coach, good win in week one. Good luck in week two.
Awesome. Thanks, Ted. Appreciate it.
Kevin DeWall, head coach of the Statesman. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, the official website for Hobart and William Smith Athletics is hwsathletics.com. We generally record these Thursday for Saturday games. So have a great week, and let's look forward to a week two win.